Welcome to the My Care Alliance podcast for helping professionals. Today, there are a variety of professionals to help people when they enter the complex healthcare system. These professionals are doing important work and helping patients and families understand the roles they play as advocates of their own healthcare, yet still too many do not know who they are, and many are still falling through the cracks of our healthcare system. To address this dilemma, My Care Alliance is introducing this podcast series that will share information that will make you think about how you can learn new strategies and better understand how we, the helping professionals, complement each other. You will learn how you can use your joint experiences and resources to improve the patient's journey. I will be your host for today's podcast. My name is Ann Llewellyn. I'm a nurse advocate from South Florida. And I've been getting to know Ginger and other members of the team and found them to be so open and caring and just really trying to bring everyone together. It's really great to see that with no agendas, no misconceptions about who's going to win. It's all about helping each other. So I wanted to bring this group together. These are three of the co-founders of My Care Alliance to talk about the company, talk about the services they offer and the work they do and how you as advocates can better utilize the services that they offer. So we have three of our founders here today: Ginger Jones, Duane Lancon, and Bonnie Castigay.
Very good.
Going to talk to us about My Care Alliance, what you're doing, and how it can help advocates and other caring healthcare professionals. So, Ginger, let's start with you.
Thank you, Ann. Well, I'd like to start off just by sharing a little bit about why My Care Alliance is here and where we came from. I started, co-founded a company back in 2011 with my business partner, Tracy Dyers, who could not be on the call today. But we started a care management company in, Indiana and Kentucky. And, over the years, we've grown that quite a bit. At the largest point, we probably had about 100 employees. It's been going strong since then. We also founded an adult daycare in 2017 and have a couple other LLCs to support those businesses. So we learned a lot the hard way and are always trying to conquer problems that we have in our own business and minimize pain points and stabilize operations. So that's how we started collaborating with my lovely co-founders here. And I'll say that My Care Alliance is really here because each of the co-founders firmly believes that the services that advocates and home care providers and adult daycare providers are very intimate and important services. And we believe that they should be delivered at the community level by people that live in those communities. And we understand the difficulty and challenges in running those businesses. And we really want to help support other people. So I'll shut up.
Yeah. Well, thank you for, bringing us up to date. Do you want to just give maybe a little overview of the two people who are not here and so people know who the whole team is?
Yes, unfortunately, Tracy Dyers, as I mentioned, is my business partner, and she's not with us today, but both Tracy and I were nurses for about 20 years prior to starting our businesses and have done a little bit of everything in nursing, managed acute care, managed home care, did intensive care, did care management. And we were both felt very strongly about bridging some of the gaps that we saw in healthcare. And then Mary Wegman is not able to join us today. Mary is the founder of two companies. In addition to My Care Alliance, she is has a company in Knoxville, Tennessee, Choices in Senior Care. I can't remember the exact year she started it, but it's been, I think it was 2008 or before. They also have a large number of employees. I think they may still have around 100 employees in that company. And then she also co-founded, or she founded an organization called Care Around the Block, and they provide home care. And that was born out of necessity that they saw when through their care management business and serving their community.
Great. So we'll introduce our two other co-founders. Let's start with Duane. Duane, do you want to talk a little bit about yourself and what you and Bonnie are doing?
Certainly. I'm Duane Lanka. I'm the co-founder for iHealth Home, the technology platform for MyCare Alliance. I'll let Bonnie explain our history at Ho'okele. My background, I'm actually trained as a CPA and spent many years as a hospital administrator. Running a very large health system that started as one hospital, a small maternity and a hospital that then consolidated and acquired and grew to be a $1 billion health system. My role as part of that was to help bring all of the systems and processes together and consolidate so we would act and function as one and garner the most efficiency out of consolidating. We spent a lot of time, as you can imagine, implementing electronic health records and technologies into hospital systems that were very manual at the time we got together. Had the opportunity to work a lot with Bonnie in the quality and case management aspects of the system, because we knew that garnering the efficiencies in the system always had to be grounded in improving quality. Better care did lead to better costs. And as we implemented systems throughout the new system, new hospital system, it always had to be grounded in the principles of quality, not just saving money. And that is really what I believe was the most successful part of that endeavor in bringing that $1 billion hospital system to fruition. And it's very successful today. So when Bonnie and I got bit by the bug to start our own business and to really look at home community-based settings, we actually found ourselves in a very manual system of paper and paper and paper. And we felt like we were stepping into the dark ages and going back in time. And what we realized is there's so much that could be improved about home and community-based services if we were to infuse technology exactly the way we did within the hospital system. And that's sort of been our quest since 2008 when we started our technology company as part of Ho'okele. And I know Bonnie will go through the history of Ho'okele. So, Bonnie?
Sure. Thank you, Duane. I'm Bonnie Castengay and, of course, co-founder with Duane for Ho'okele. Our major system is called Ho'okele Health Innovations, and under there we have three major service lines. And when we started in 2006, Duane and I, part of a major healthcare system, saw the trials and tribulations that families went through, both elders a lot and even children, of being able to The case managers in the hospital were able to see up to their door, but they could not see what was in the home or what the living environment was like. And that's what we became passionate about. They were coming back in all the time, basically, because they could not triage these issues. And so we started initially, our first offering was what we call Ho'okele Health Navigators, which is care coordination. And our basic model was using registered nurses in order to facilitate a lot of the advocacy and coordination that's required, especially for individuals who are coming out of acute or short-term rehab facilities. The connections between that and the community and the community resources, it what was lagging. And so people were not aware that, oh my God, I didn't know we could do this. I didn't know that that was a resource for us. Mm-hmm. And so our part of coordination was a lot of education and then assisting people to communicate between the healthcare professionals, the family members, and of course the senior. The language that we use in the healthcare arena is Greek to a lot of people. And that's where we can come in to simplify it for them and then go ahead and start to educate and teach. We did chronic disease management, or what we call complex care coordination. And so much of it was just health literacy and knowing where they were on the spectrum and then understanding their goals. And by understanding that, then we were able to make major, major gains with many of our clients, basically because they were goal oriented, not to the healthcare goals, but to their own goals.
Sure.
So that was our first. That was in 2006. In 2008, as Duane said, we started our technology only because we just saw the disarray. And if the disarray outside of our environment, if we could not do it within our environment and adequately document, we would not have the outcomes. So that's what we did then. And in 2010, we had the opportunity to open up home care. And we did that in, I say, less than a month. And it was one of the agencies that we worked with. We were subcontracting out, and we had the opportunity to take over that agency, but it had to be done quickly. And that was our opening to home care. We've since opened up an agency on Maui, and that happened in 2016. So that's our services environment, and I'm very proud of our staff. And we continue to go out there in this environment of COVID and care for our elders.
That's wonderful. And so are you both in Hawaii?
Yes. Well, Duane travels a lot, not since COVID, but she's in Seattle right now. This is her first time since March.
Our headquarters are in Seattle for iHealth Home.
Okay, I was wondering with the name of your company and then your beautiful palm right behind you, Bonnie, I thought she's got to be somewhere, but that's great. Well, how did you all come together, Ginger?
Well, I think we've all just been kind of traveling parallel paths, and we're all very like-minded I precipitated bringing us all together. And what I was doing was trying to figure out, solutions to problems and challenges within our own company. I was trying to figure out, you know, how can we make these very valuable services more affordable for people so that more people can have them? Because largely this is private pay. And people are using their own dollars for them, but it's so valuable. We know the value that it, you know, it drives down overall cost and improves the quality of life. But, you know, how can we do that better? How can we engage people earlier? Especially in health advocacy and care management, you often don't achieve engagement with your customer until they're in crisis. And then you spend an enormous amount of time trying to put out the fires and get things stabilized. But if we could engage with them earlier, we could prevent the crisis. So what kind of offerings can we, you know, give to our clients that would, let's just nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife would say. You know, let's get prevent. And that's what we talk about. So in doing that, I realized that to be able to accomplish a lot of these things that my company, Tracy and I's company, Diversified Nurse Consultants, was really going to need to step up our technology. We have used an electronic health record for years. We've used a couple. And I think it was, was it 3 years ago or 4 years ago, Duane, that I set out again to find what I felt was a comprehensive enough solution, and began working with Duane and her team at iHealth Home. And I found them to be very progressive in their thinking. They shared the same vision of what the capabilities and possibilities would be if we could get to where we needed to be. So I just probably became one of the biggest pains in her behind because I called her all the time. Well, I know it does this, but what if it could do this? You know, or what about this step? And so we just developed that relationship. And through that, I was privileged with getting to meet Bonnie and learn about her and Duane's story. And Mary Wegman in Tennessee, my partner Tracy and I have done in our care management business. We have worked for a large healthcare system payer source, and so did Mary's company. It was one of the things that allowed us to grow. We diversified our offerings, and so we've known Mary since the beginning, since probably 2012, and both. Her company and Choices in Senior Care and Diversified Nurse Consultants sat on a national advisory council for this payer on how to best deliver care management services to their chronically ill and post-hospitalized member base, which was mainly Medicare and Medicaid population. Mm-hmm. But we've known Mary and about how excellent her standards are and her commitment to what she's doing. And so I just said, let's bring all these smart ladies together and see what we can come up with. So
that's how My Care Alliance came together. Mm-hmm. And it sounds mm-hmm. like you really saw problems in many different areas. You know, the care coordination, the communication, you know, helping people transition from those inpatient settings, whether it be rehab or hospital, and then moving to the next sector, and then really helping the families and the patient understand what was happening to them and what some of their choices are. And I think that's what all of us who are in these helping professionals want to do. And I really agree with you, Ginger, that so much of it happens in an emergency situation. So how can we all start to work together to educate the public that you need to start thinking about this? I mean, even advanced directives, to have advanced directives set out. If you're a family and your teenager is going to go off to college, and do they have an advanced directive? We never really thought about that, but we need to think about it because terrible things happen. And, you know, even if you're in the same state, the school can be 5 hours away and you get a call in the middle of the night and they want to know, what do you want to do? And it was like, it's like, what, you know? So all of us, I think, and the people who are listening to this have to start thinking that way. How can we, that's part of our roles as helping professionals, to help educate people that we don't want this to be an emergency. We want to be able to plan it and, you know, control it. That's most of what happens when people get into the healthcare system, and why they find it so frustrating and so scary is because they lose control. They lose everything, and they have to depend on total strangers. And if they have a relationship with an organization such as My Care Alliance, who brings all these different groups together, then you have at least some sense of control, that you know who to call, you know when that call comes, you know who to call. So I guess the number one question is, how do we get that paid for, and how do we start working together? And Ginger, I think that's one of your missions, is to reach out to the different organizations and to the different professional organizations to let professionals know that this organization is here, so like-minded people can come together to grow in an alliance.
Yes, absolutely. We want to support that. And I think even the backgrounds of the co-founders speaks to that you cannot be siloed. You know, all of us started in one area of practice, care management or care coordination, but we realized that we had to expand. And within Duane and Bonnie, they saw a need for a quality home care company and they created it. Same with Mary. In our community, Tracy and I saw a need for adult daycare, but we don't have to, us co-founders, we may be a little bit crazy in that we just jump in and we're doers, and not everybody that's in the helping profession wants to take all that on. But just don't view yourself as siloed. Figure out what those other pieces are and how to collaborate with the other providers in your community and your state, nationally, to be able to meet your customers' needs. And each part of you plays a key piece of that. And if you can collaborate, that there's more than enough work for everybody to go around.
Yes.
My Care Alliance is trying to make it easier for you by giving you the tools and the support to do it more efficiently, show you, ways to improve your services or expand them. So that's how we want to contribute to making this all work. We say to ourselves, okay, what did we need? What were some of the problems we had? What helped us grow? What do we use today? What helps us be successful? How can we replicate that for other people so that they can have the same things? And that's really what we're about.
Great. And Duane, can you tell us a little bit about the technology side? Because I think that really is an important piece of efficiency that we in our own practices can look at, and how can we use technology more efficiently?
Definitely. Being the business half of our partnership with Bonnie, my job was to manage the overhead and all the processes so that our care managers could spend most of their time doing what they do best and what they love, which is helping their clients navigate the complicated healthcare system. So my job was to try to make their job easy as possible so that they could spend as little amount of time on paperwork and billing and all of those other things that you have to do to manage a business. You have to do them, but if we can minimize the amount of time they spend on overhead, then they could serve more clients and help more seniors, because the number of seniors that need help far exceeds the number of care managers and caregivers out there in the community today. So my mission has always been, what can I do to make it easier for care managers so that they can do what they do best? And so as we created iHealth Home, we really kept that in mind. And I think because our system was built from that basis, it was built from a care manager's perspective. Bonnie was involved with the very, very first designs. Ginger and Mary have been involved in our most recent medication modules and our tasking modules. So we really harness the knowledge base of our care managers of what it's really like to be out there in the field, and that the system needs to flow and be easy to use in a certain context. So because we're very user focused in how we design, we don't start from the tech guys in their dark computing rooms. We start from the care managers in the field and work backwards. How should the system work? I think that's a real strength. So I think that caused us to be attractive to Ginger and to Mary and Bonnie. And that we sort of started seeing a commonality of our customer base in what they wanted. And some of the few things that I know, technology can be a bit intimidating to care managers, and especially when you're so busy, you just don't have 2 minutes to rub together to even think about implementing a new system. But having seen some of the value to some of our care managers, even the solo ones, there's really kind of three things I think to talk to the efficiency. One is work-life balance. And I really mean that. There are so many care managers we meet. They're all on paper. They were so busy growing their practice that grew so quickly, they haven't had time to put in an information system. They're typing up their documentation at 10 o'clock at night, and then getting up early in the morning again to see their first client. So they're literally burning the candle at both ends. So when you do that, we all know eventually you're going to run out of steam and your ability to continue to serve your clients is going to be difficult. Taking that little bit of time to learning a system, getting your documentation down to a dictation process where you're dictating on your mobile phone right after the visit, really will give you adequate time to now end your day at a reasonable period of time because your documentation's already done. And then the ability to edit that along the way just before you're billing, and then to just literally click a button and sync to your QuickBooks and your billing is all done, your accounting is all done, and your accountant can take it from there. That just gives you great peace of mind. And see, you can really garner more hours out of the day. So one, just that work-life balance, getting rid of paper is number two. One of the big reasons Bonnie and I decided to build the technology, because we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We just thought, how hard could it be to write software? I can tell you it's hard. But, you know, one of the cases that really caused us to say we have to do this was a pretty typical case where one of our clients fell. The caregiver failed to document, failed to let anybody know, and we didn't find out. So the care manager went a week later that there was a fracture and the client had already deteriorated to some extent. There was no visibility in the home. There was only paper records. It took a care manager going physically visiting the home to actually see what was going on. That's just not good care. And it's not because people didn't care. It's simply because we didn't have the systems to coordinate and communicate well. Just having a system in place that allows a caregiver to document real time and to alert a care manager when there's been an incident can significantly improve the quality of life for our seniors. So getting rid of that paper, that's not just an issue of getting rid of storage. It really is speeding up the timeliness and improving the quality of the care that you can deliver. And then finally, when you're able to carve this much time out of your system and you can serve more seniors and help more people, naturally your revenue is going to grow. And that then helps you have a more thriving practice, which allows you to continue serving more people. It's very difficult when a care manager is just, you know, having very thin margins and it's very difficult. It's hard to stay positive and it's hard to stay helpful to your clients when the financial situation is difficult. So if you can use technology to increase your caseloads, get your revenue up a little bit, be a little bit more comfortable, again, that just brings sustainability to the profession.
And do you have any other technologies that you're thinking about introducing? Like, you know, today with COVID, we're having challenges going into the homes and evaluating people. So have you started to look at that as the care managers so that everybody's safe?
Yes, actually, we did, create a COVID Navigator app that allows a care manager and any caregiver to do their screening and creates a little cleared for work badge on their phone. So what's nice is as a care manager or a caregiver goes to a home visit, they can show their badge and give that senior a little bit of assurance that they've been cleared for work and it's safe to come into the home. We can also do similar types of screening for the senior themselves.
So Ginger, with regard to using the technology and how this can help advocates and care managers to be more efficient, as Duane said, and to have some work-life balance. I mean, I think we all have seen ourselves at 10 o'clock doing billing because you know it's late and you need to get it out. So Ginger, how are you incorporating this into My Care Alliance so more people can use that?
That's a great question. And I'd like to expand on that even a little bit more. One of the initial things that Duane and I connected on regarding the technology was, yes, it's absolutely so important and essential to be able to help us to achieve what we're doing in our practices, but technology is just piece of it. It's got to be the technology with the services, the technology with the know-how, how to use it appropriately to get the objectives met that you're trying to do. So it might be, your objective might be to expand the services or drive down the cost for your customer so that you can do more for them, and technology will help you do that. The same technology can be used to help you improve and expand your business offerings. For people that are doing solo practices, it's a little simpler, but what if you're at the stage you want to start expanding? You have to be able to replicate your services. You have to be able to monitor the communication between your employees, not to be nosing in, but to make sure you have standardized offerings and that, you know, the things that you're selling are getting done properly, and technology can help you do that. So there's all kinds of business aspects that it can help you do in addition to serving customers. But Duane and I think bonded on that a long time ago, is that technology is a wonderful tool and it can have wonderful functionality. And I think that was one of the bigger challenges that they found as a software company. And I don't want to speak for you, but in customers was, yes, they could adopt the technology, but knowing how to use it and guidance with that was a different story. And that's one of the things that MyCare Alliance can help with. We don't just give you the software. We want to help you implement it and use it appropriately to meet your goals. All of these helping professions are different size businesses. They might be a solo practice. They could have 20 employees. They could have 100 employees. And each of their needs are going to be a little bit different. So really understanding that and helping to use the tools like technology to help people achieve their goals is what we're expert in, I think.
So can you give an example of how, like, you know, a small company with maybe just two people, maybe it's a nurse and a social worker working together, or a nurse and another nurse working together, and how would they use the systems? Like what comes with a system, maybe a little bit about that, and how, you know, they can, I guess, show their outcomes. I think that's another area that we really have to be able to demonstrate, especially if we do go to like an employer or something to offer care management services or patient advocacy services. How do we convince somebody to pay for it? So do the outcomes come as part of what your system does to be able to help people demonstrate the value that they bring? In hard savings, a lot of times we have anecdotal stories. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess when it comes to really showing hard dollars and cents, is that built into the system? And how can somebody use that?
You're exactly right, Anne. If you're going to go after payers or employers, one of the very first things that we found is, in order to track outcomes, you have to do it the same way. You have to be collecting on your intake, your same kind of information, on your assessment, the same kind of information, and your plan of care has to be very goal-oriented, and you can't all be phrasing your goals in different ways. And even when you have two care managers in a practice, they won't all do their assessments the same way, they won't write their plans of care the same way, they won't capture outcomes the same way. So one of the first things, and one of the things that makes the system most successful, is when, even if it's two care managers get together and talk about what is the way we're going to do this, what does our assessment look like, what does our plan of care look like, and you start to have templated problems and interventions and tasks, because only when you do that, you won't be able to create that return on investment if you can't say that we can look at all of our clients who've been hospitalized, and our rehospitalization rate is 1% versus our community average of 20%. But we don't collect data the same way. Even if it's two care managers, you're not going to be able to get that data out of your system. So when you're initially implementing the system, getting everybody together on what are my standard pull-down menus. How do I classify my different patients, clients? How do I classify their different conditions? How do I classify their different problems? Just that communication alone, even if it's between two people, is so important towards advancing that goals towards outcomes.
So your systems can be customized to meet different practices, which is nice.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely.
So no two people do it the same way. The one thing I learned very quickly. One plan of care is one plan of care, which is great for that customization and personalization, but it doesn't do anything towards getting us towards outcomes and validating, using data to validate ROI.
So one You're of the even great trying things to about, estimate, even trying to estimate costs, like what is it going to cost somebody? How much will this cost you? And we don't know, because if we don't keep
track. So that balance between personalization and standardization has to be there. We have to have that mindset towards standardization. So what's really wonderful about MyCare Alliance is because as iHealth Home, we help a company to do it company by company by company. What MyCare Alliance is looking at is having all of us get together and having some set of standards as an industry, as a group. It's not just my company. Company A is setting their standards and company B is setting their standards and A and B are not even close.
Oh, I see. Get so all the people that come into MyCare Alliance can be working off the same.
We provide them with a platform. So, and the best use for that platform. So, now, not to say it can't be customized, but all the co-founders, we took our collective knowledge and developed what we felt were the best assessments and, you know, the processes. And those were developed in a way that we knew what data we needed to collect to validate our outcomes in different fields. And that's not just, you know, rehospitalization, it's quality of life and functional independence. So we did develop that. It's something that we have and people can just use it as it is. If they do that, we'll be able to collect data and move these businesses that are largely grassroots types of businesses, you know, and really start together to validate. Now, we're not under any illusion, though, that everybody wants to participate in that. And that's fine. If that's not your objective, that's fine. You just want to, you know, you want to have your small practice and you've got a way of doing things and you want to do it. It can absolutely be customized. We just give you the tool set and then you can say, I don't want to use this. I'll take this part. I don't want that part. We would love it if we could get everybody doing the same thing. But I think more realistic is what we know. We'll have practices that'll participate fully and we'll have some that still want to take the bits and pieces that they want, and that's okay.
And do you have a marketing side of it too with the company?
Yes. Do you mean marketing support for
For advocates or care managers when they're trying to get new clients, you know, how to maybe even I don't know if you're a national company across the whole country, so it's hard, but how are you set up to help people look at different areas and maybe employer sectors? And
so we're continually developing that. What we currently have in place are a couple, you know, just the base. We have a provider directory. So we have a website that targets professionals and seniors as a resource. And so we drive seniors to our website and they can find different providers that are care managers, health advocates. But the thing that I think is unique in that, we're also getting ready to expand that to offer it to A lot of the key referral sources, which are elder law attorneys, financial planners, who also serve the seniors, because we want to create a place where seniors can come and look for all the services that they need. Mm-hmm. So we do provide marketing support through that. And also we offer where they can get like a turnkey website design. And we're plugged in with WASHA, which is pretty big in health advocacy. And we have partnership with ALCA, and we work closely with them to help.
And Ginger, just to let people know what those acronyms mean.
Aging Life Care Association. Washington State Health Advocacy Association, which is getting ready to become national as well. And so we try and, again, collaborate. We don't want to recreate the wheel with those companies those organizations to help people find resources for marketing. And then where things don't exist, we'll create them, such as the combined national directory, the website design. And Duane, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think the other growth area for advocates and care managers is into other payers, for example, Medicaid, the VA, Medicare Advantage. Now, since care management has traditionally been private pay, care managers are not set up for the level of compliance and discipline and standardization you need to be successful with that kind of a customer, a business-to-business customer, especially a highly regulated one like Medicaid. Now, with the Alliance, one of the big benefits we all found is we pulled our resources together, a knowledge base on Medicaid and VA billing, and we've created a standardized process now. So while using the system straight through all the way to the billing for these third-party payers. And I know Bonnie can speak to Hold Kelly's experience, but we had just sort of grown into it. Weren't real versed and ran into problems collecting the accounts receivable because it wasn't like private pay billing. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie, maybe you want to talk about how the Alliance helped us out there.
Oh, yes. MyCare Alliance had the experience of billing for these different providers, such as United Healthcare and Kaiser, so the national ones. And they knew how to code on 1500 claim forms, and also to the VA. The first foray was our VA system. We had receivables unimaginable, and she was able to help us clear that. And now I think we started like in the 100,000, and we're now down to maybe a single digit. Yeah,
7,000 period of time.
Still outstanding, mm-hmm. But that happened, I would say, in about a 6-month period of time, you know, and that is amazing. We have another one, which is a local healthcare system, health plan that we do services for the Quest integration, and we have over 100,000 outstanding with them. And she is working through that with us. And we're still working through it, but we've already seen some movement already. So it's amazing. Outstanding receivables will kill a company. And we just needed that help. We don't have that expertise within our organization.
If I could expand on that too, what Bonnie's referring to is we have billing and accounts receivable and bookkeeping services that we provide. We also do billing through clearinghouses for those type of situations. But all of the co-founders actually, and I'll let you all speak to this, but through Diversified Nurse Consultants and Peggy's Place, our adult daycare, one of the expense reducing things that we really did for our practice was we, instead of employing internally our bookkeeper and biller, we outsourced it to MyCare Alliance. And we probably had about a 40% overhead reduction by doing that. And the services were even better because it's just, it's specialized. That's all those people are doing. That is one of the big offerings that, that MyCare Alliance can do to support a company that really makes it worth its while. But I let them talk about, because we do the bookkeeping and billing for their companies as well.
What about documentation? What about documentation and being able to, be able to support the billing with the documentation that you have? So that's, is that built into the system?
One of the examples the long-term care insurance. We were, of course, passed on paper, and you can imagine traveling and trying to pick up the paper documents in order to submit these to the long-term care insurance. And in fact, the VA was the same thing. We had an issue of getting the documentation in place. Once we were fully on board with the iHealth Home product, everything is online. They're doing it off their mobile devices, and it can be just sent off to the long-term care insurance, to VA, or any of the health plans now, which simplifies the entire thing. Also, for families, they're able to look in now and see, what did they eat today? How did they do today?
Oh, so,
and that's very important
notes.
For families.
They can do the notes.
Transparency, okay. That's correct. And so they can log in. It's a web-based, very easy for them to get in. And
good transparency,
so,
right?
Yes. And some families are a little bit more, they want to know so much, so they keep on calling and calling. Okay, so what did they do today? Did she eat? Did they do this? You know? And so once we gave them this access, they only call only because there's a question. Mm-hmm. But they can see that documentation, and it's peace of mind for them. And many of our clients were in there coordinating and navigating for them. Many times they're living on the mainland, and the seniors are here. And so that helps.
Yeah, that's great. Because I think that's where, you know, there is a lot more where the families, the adult children are paying for the care for.
Correct.
Their parents, and you know, they're out of the state, and you know, just to be able to go into a portal and view things and have up-to-date information on new meds or doctor's appointment updates, those kind of things, that's excellent. And then
we really view everyone involved as part of the entire care team, right? From care manager
records.
To the caregiver to the family member, even the client if possible. So everybody should be contributing to that electronic record and be able to see into it.
And can you upload like medical records if you get records? You know,
yes. We have that.
Can you share your system with your provider so they can put their records in there, or how does that work?
Absolutely, if they wanted to, right? They haven't. There hasn't been a lot of receptivity of doctors wanting to get into another information system.
Yeah.
But certainly what you can do and what most care managers do is you can PDF a nice monthly report and upload it securely into the physician system, right? Whether it's an Epic or a Cerner or something else, so that it automatically goes into their queue for the doctor to review.
Also biometric readings, which they're looking for.
You know, another area that I think that the technology really helps to minimize risk with is, and I think that unfortunately a lot of our colleagues don't think enough about this, is liability and loss mitigation. So, but you have to think about it. These people are coming to us with problems to solve. And that's what we say. We're going to solve your problems. We're going to fix them. But if they come to you and report a problem, you have some onus if you're selling them a service. To do something about it. And I think you need to be very careful and have a process about how you document and record that. You know, what did they tell you and what did you do? Those of us that are nurses had that drilled into our heads. If it's not documented, it wasn't done.
Right.
And not everybody, you know, that's in this field was a nurse or a social worker, you know, and it's really important to document. It's really important to store your information in a way that's compliant with privacy laws and HIPAA laws. So even if you're not billing providers and therefore not subject per se to HIPAA laws, you are still responsible for privacy laws, and each state has their own, and they're getting stricter and stricter. Mm-hmm. So how you house and handle all the information is so important.
And so all the other systems are secured and they're web-based. I think, Joanne, you said they're web-based, so they're able to be, you know, if your computer crashes, you still have the system behind you. Mm-hmm. And
yep. It's all in the cloud. You just need an internet connection, but all of those connections are encrypted and the database is encrypted. So it's very secure. And when you allow a family into your portal, that is a very secure way to share information, as opposed to you don't know how many care managers I hear are using Google Docs in the open area. That is not secure in any way, shape, or form, but that's the only way they've been able to share with families their notes. So sending notes via email, sending notes, filing notes in Google Docs are just red flags. And they're potentially disasters waiting to happen.
One thing I wanted to ask, because we're getting close to the end, how would somebody, if they were interested in learning about joining My Care Alliance, is that the term to use to join My Care Alliance? So yes. Let's talk about that. And maybe, I don't know if you do want to get into costs at this point, to tell people what things cost, because you might have people listening this at different times, different stages of their practices, but what should they look at and why should they invest in something?
Sure. Well, I want to start by saying that we really wanted to meet people where they are. And so there's not a one size fits all. And so we have a lot of options. The very first entry point is just become a member. And what you get for the membership is professional business support. So you'll get access to smart business articles that we put out monthly that are about, you know, HR or compliance, things about running your business smartly. You'll have access to a webinar series. We have done a lot on HIPAA and privacy. We've done HR 101. We've got someone managing your finances coming up. You'll get access to our Helping Professionals podcast series and our experts. So that's really just a very entry-level engagement. You can start learning and becoming part of it. You become part of our directory and people can find you. And that is $99 a year. Mm-hmm. And it's for any of our kind of practices. We do have partnerships. ALCA members receive that membership as part of their ALCA benefit now. And we're continuing to expand those partnerships. Beyond that, it's what you need. You may already have an electronic health record that you're using and you don't want to switch. That's fine. We have billing and bookkeeping services, and those fees are based on your volume and, you know, what your particular needs are. We have another technology platform that's remote monitoring platform that you can monitor vital signs and blood pressures. And in addition, you can do that on iHealth Home too. So we've got add-ins there, and the cost starts at how many people you have on. It's a cost per user. So you only pay for the clients you have on the system. What else we have? We have business coaching and mentoring and
all kinds
of stuff. So it really depends on what you need.
IT services,
yes. Do you need to outsource a little bit of IT? How do I get my emails set up? How do I add new people to it? How do I, you know, get a special report written? And that's another thing that most people don't have the money to pay for a full-time IT person, but if they could just buy a couple hours, we sell that as well. So, right. Am I forgetting something? There's a whole list.
We're moving along.
What is the website, just so people know if they want to look into it?
Yeah, it's mycarealliance.com.
And that has all the information on it. And then if people have questions, Ginger, are you the point person who can talk to people?
Yes. And well, actually, we're all on there as experts, I think, so they can reach out to any of us. But if they just have questions about collaboration in general, but absolutely, they can reach out to me directly. And I would love to hear about challenges that they're facing in their business and see if we can, if we have a solution that can help them.
Great. Well, I think this is really exciting. You guys have put together some really good tools for the professionals who are in this helping professionals to help people. We need help. We need help to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this has been a great start, and we'll look forward to expanding on this and maybe another webinar on some of the issues that care managers, patient advocates are having. And then maybe have the experts answer with some of those tools that you do have and how it can make things, you know, a little easier and help you to grow your business. That's what we're all in this for, to grow our businesses and to make sure that we're doing the right thing at the right time, just like we try to do for our patients, the right thing at the right time. And like, I love what you said, Duane, about this work-life balance, because starting a business can be very time consuming, and we do need to take care of ourselves. So having the right tools to take care of ourselves and to do our work gives us that peace of mind, and it's not as stressful. So
yeah, definitely.
Any last words, Bonnie, from you?
Nope. I think we've captured most of the important aspects of it. Yes, we're excited about it. Very passionate about what we're doing.
Congratulations on your work. Duane, anything you'd like to close with?
Oh, same thing. We're really excited about working with care managers that have the same point of view and the same values of helping seniors. And we just would take what we've learned and be able to help more care managers so that we can help more seniors. So please join us.
Great. Ginger, closing words?
Well, I'll just add on to that, home care companies that are thinking about incorporating care management. So, you know, we can help do that. And we're really excited to collaborate. And if not, as I said in the beginning, let us connect you with those people that have that other piece of it. Because you don't have to be silent.
Or employers who want to bring in advocacy into their business, again, to break the cycle of the emergency, have it available for people early on, so we don't have these fire we have to put out. Because then we can all think more clearer. We can, you know, understand what people want and help them to meet their goals, as well as, you know, put a little more control into a rarely out of control system sometimes. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you. It was fun.
You guys doing great work and exciting work. And thank you for being there for all the helping professionals. We'll look forward to more podcasts. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.